Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Hol dir jetzt das gratis Mac-Menü-Upgrade in der McDonald's-App und mach aus deinem Big Mac einen Double Big Mac oder Big Mac Bacon TS. Nur für registrierte App-User in teilnehmenden Restaurants, nicht zu Mac-Menüs Mall.
He would appear in the dark.
Hunting, literally hunting.
He was a killer.
World of Secrets, Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Listen now, wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from the BBC. I'm Sofia Bettiza, and in this edition of Assignment, I'm in the Italian town of Monfalcone, where Bangladeshis now account for around a quarter of the population. A group of friends playing cricket on a Saturday afternoon. It's a scene you'll find in quite a few countries. These players are all from Bangladesh, but we are thousands of miles away from where they grew up playing their national game. We're just outside the town of Monfalcone, on the Adriatic coast, in the northeast of Italy, right on the border with Slovenia. They've moved here to work in the local shipyard, one of the biggest in Europe. I said we're outside of Monfalcone, and there's a reason for this. Believe it or not, the mayor has effectively banned cricket here, and it's come to symbolise the tensions that one small Italian town is grappling with.
If you were to play this cricket game in Monfalcone, what could happen? Could you get a fine?
Dobbiamo pagare multa, basta.
We'd have to pay a fine. There's no choice. 80 or 100 euros.
What happens? The police come.
You can't play. They say, let's see your documents. That's all.
But on what grounds? Why is it forbidden?
They say cricket isn't for Italy. I'll tell you the truth. It's because we are foreigners.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service, and I'm Sofia Bettiza. And in this episode of Assignment, I'm asking, what happens when an urgent need to import cheap labour from abroad to do the jobs that local Italians don't want to do collides with far-right politics? This is a reality that a lot of countries in Europe are grappling with. From Germany to France to Poland, employers are really struggling to find people with the right skills. But at the same time, an influx of migrant workers can create tensions. And Monfalcone is a microcosm that encapsulates a lot of the changes and challenges in many parts of the developed world. Italy has one of the lowest birth rates globally, and a native population that doesn't want to do the sort of low-paying jobs that their parents or grandparents did, like picking fruit, working in care homes, or here in Monfalcone, welding metal plates in shipyards. Mia Bappi works at the shipyard and is the captain of a local cricket team. He lives in Monfalcone with his wife and two young children. He believes the mayor, Anna Maria Cisint, is stigmatizing the Bangladeshi Muslims living here. But this is about so much more than the right to play cricket. In her two terms as mayor, Cisint has removed the benches in the town square where Bangladeshis used to sit, stopped people from playing cricket, and railed against what Muslim women wear at the beach. But then she took things to the next level. She tried to effectively ban collective prayer at the two Islamic centres in the town. Everyone in Monfalcone knows Mayor Anna Maria Cisint because she's created such a stir since she took office in 2016. She is a very charismatic politician. So before I explore the town, I want to hear from her. The mayor wears her long raven black hair in a ponytail. Her toenails are bright fuchsia and her necklace comprises four heart-shaped pendants.
Mi chiamo Anna Maria Cisint. Rimango come pro.
I'm Anna Maria Cisint. I'm mayor because I have a rapport with the people of Monfalcone and great empathy for them. I decided to serve this city because at the moment, the city, in my opinion, it's been degraded and abandoned.
Divisions, the mayor says, which can be attributed to the local shipyard's decision 20 years ago to begin outsourcing low-skilled work, something she calls wage dumping.
A lot of migrant workers have come here to work at the shipyard. How has that changed Monfalcone?
Una importazione di manodopera povera.
There was an importation of cheap labor at prices that created enormous wage dumping. People who were fine would come into work for 5 euros an hour because at home the work was paid even less. And from there, the change in the social structure of Monfalcone began. I had to find solutions for schools, healthcare, and housing. In the first years, I tried to start a dialogue with the Bangladeshi community leaders many times. We built 5 schools, but the women can't work here because they don't learn Italian. At first, I really believed that a solution could be found. Then I realized that it was a joke because their way of life is incompatible with ours.
Your town, Monfalcone, hit the headlines after you said that 2 Muslim community centres were not authorised to hold prayer meetings.
People from the town started sending me photos and videos which were quite shocking, which showed a huge number of people who were praying in the 2 Islamic centres, as many as 1,900 in just one building. This is really unfair for other people because there are so many bikes left on the pavement and loud prayers 5 times a day, even at night. In those 2 places, they weren't doing what had been authorized. The authorizations they had were for different activities. Those areas are not areas intended for centers of worship, just as they would not have been intended for discos for the same principle.
So, essentially, Cisint says this comes down to an issue with urban planning. The Islamic centres are not designated for religious worship.
And why was it a problem that they were praying there?
I'll explain. The truth is that they broke the law. They were discovered, and instead of apologising, what did they do instead? They attacked me, saying, "It's your fault, we cannot pray." I never said you can't pray. I said, look, you're doing what you can't do there, and we have local people in revolt.
When we ask her about her ban on cricket, she's dismissive and defiant.
They can go anywhere else. There's not just Monfalcone. They can go anywhere else to play cricket. We don't have space here.
Mayor Cisint believes she's protecting her town. She is adamant that all foreign-born residents should integrate completely.
There is a very strong process of Islamic fundamentalism here, a culture where women are treated very badly and are oppressed by men. Our history is being erased. It's like it doesn't matter anymore. Everything is changing for the worse. People are saying, what's happening?
She says she's received death threats because of her views on Muslims, and that's why she's now under 24-hour police protection. If you were to sum up your mission in one sentence, what would it be?
What I want to do is defend my nation and promote Christian values.
Grazie mille.
Grazie a voi.
È stato veramente molto interessante.
Well, I have to say, that was quite an intense interview, and it's given me a lot to think about. I'm keen to try and find out whether what I hear from meeting people in Monfalcone reflects what the mayor has told me. So next, I'm off to the town's biggest employer, the Fincantieri shipyard, which the mayor says is a magnet attracting Bangladeshi workers. I'm standing on top of a long walkway made of an iron grid. There's water under my feet. On my left, there's the Adriatic Sea, with dozens of cranes towering over it. And on my right, I'm looking at the Star Princess, the biggest cruise ship ever to be built in Italy. It's monumental. It's going to have 20 decks, and most of them are already in place. It covers about 100 football pitches, and it's one of the biggest shipyards in Europe. Cristiano Bazzara is the shipyard director. He wears a crisp white jumpsuit and a yellow safety helmet.
This will be the Star Princess, that is the next ship that we will build. She will be the biggest cruise ship ever built in Italy.
And how many people could go
6,000 people on board, 4,500 passengers and 1,500 the crew members.
Your shipyard dominates Monfalcone. How important is it to the town, to the local economy?
We have something around 6,000, 7,000 people working, and consider that the citizens of Monfalcone is 30,000 people. So we are talking of one-third of the population is working in the shipyards. And we are talking about 600 region companies that are involved in the shipbuilding construction and working with us.
This shipyard has effectively changed Monfalcone with all the foreign workers coming in. Did you foresee that?
Probably the beginning of the process, no, it was not expected.
Why has it been necessary for you to employ non-Italians?
The necessity came from the fact that we are not able to find trained workers for these kind of activities. In Europe, it's very difficult to find young people that want to work in a shipyard. And so we have to look to different markets to find the manpower needed to build the ship.
We spoke to the mayor of Monfalcone, and she said that you can't find Italians to work for you because you don't pay them enough.
Well, it's not true, because we are totally aligned with the Italian law with respect to paying activities.
But one of the criticisms we've heard is that while a lot of Italians are employed directly by the shipyard, the Bangladeshis are employed by contractors who pay them lower wages.
Are any foreigners directly employed, or is it all through subcontract?
Okay, to be fair, not so many. We have a few of them, so we are controlling what our subcontractors are doing and how they are dealing with the contract. We are starting employing directly Bangladeshi people, for example, young people coming from the school. So this is the reason why I'm not in accordance with what the mayor said.
So does that mean that you pay people from Italy and from Bangladesh the same amount of money?
The amount of money is linked to the professionality and the skill of the person, not to the nationality.
Because of this shipyard, Monfalcone has become very multicultural in a very short period of time. Do you think that's actually a good thing for the town?
This is a fact, and our responsibility is to manage this fact on the social point of view. So I don't think that is nice to have or not nice to have. We have to manage it. Surely there are some problems to be managed.
What kind of problem?
Integration, different culture, different religion, different behaviors is something that has to be managed. It's not nice or wrong.
Cristiano Bazzara says the company has invested 50 million euros in community projects.
Investment in two schools. One is the corporate nursery and one is an infant school, enlarging the number of children that can be educated in this school. Our company is ready to work with the administration to find out the solution and to contribute to find out the solution.
There are so many Bangladeshis working at the shipyard that during the holy Muslim month of Ramadan, they're allowed to work flexible hours to take into account their fasting. And their presence has changed the town very quickly. There are now halal shops, Bangladeshi restaurants, and a network of cycle paths, mostly used by the South Asian community. Monfalcone has one of the greatest concentrations of foreign-born residents in Italy. Nearly two-thirds of babies born here are the offspring of foreign nationals. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
He was known to be a killer. Even if you see him in the town, everybody will say he's the killer.
This is the story of a man who killed so many people, he lost count. But despite his shocking death toll, he only served 12 years in jail.
It's astounding that anybody could get away with it.
And the families of his victims want justice.
That justice system ultimately ignored all of those bodies and all of the families.
From the BBC World Service, World of Secrets, Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Search for World of Secrets wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
I'm Sofia Bettiza on assignment in Italy. It's early morning and I'm at one of the two Islamic centres, which the mayor says is not authorised as a place of worship. It's one of the most important dates in the Muslim calendar, Eid al-Adha, the festival of sacrifice. And in spite of what the mayor said, there are hundreds of men here, dressed up for the celebration, kneeling on the soft turquoise carpet and reciting Muslim prayers. Bu Konate is one of the leaders of the two Islamic centres based in Monfalcone. He's originally from Senegal, a tall man wearing thin glasses and a simple midnight blue tunic.
This is the prayer room, but we also do other activities at the culture centre. We have a small library, and we even celebrate marriages here.
When did people from Bangladesh first start coming to Monfalcone?
They started arriving in 2000, 2001, and when they reached a certain number, they wanted a place to pray together. This place was given to us by the town council, which paid the rent for 5 years. I've been here for 40 years, and there were never any problems. The problems were created by a situation of incompatibility, created by someone.
By someone, I think we can be pretty clear, he's referring to Mayor Chizind.
Cultural problems are always there when people come from various parts of the world. It's normal. They exist between me and the Bengalis. I'm from Africa, they're from Asia. We definitely don't have the same culture, but I accept this culture difference. Why? Because it's a wealth. It is something that if I have it and add it to what I have, it makes something more. It's not a problem if it's managed well. But in the case of Monfalcone, it was not managed well. Instead, the mayor exploited it.
What was the impact on the community when the mayor banned prayers here?
Very, very bad. I've never felt like this since I came to Italy. She has awakened in many people a feeling that probably some had repressed inside.
After going to prayer on Sunday to celebrate Eid al-Adha, Monfalcone's Muslims celebrate with a feast. And Meheli has kindly invited me to share a meal with her family. She's 19 and originally from Dhaka, the capital of Bangladesh. While her mom is wearing a sari, Meheli prefers Western clothes, jeans, a red T-shirt and winged eyeliner. Her Italian is flawless and she also speaks great English.
Thank you for having us.
Her dad works at the shipyard and her mom teaches Bengali classes.
We're looking at a table with lots of incredible food, which your mum made, right?
These are like all the traditional foods.
That's a biryani.
That's a biryani. This is called shemai. That's chicken fry. And this is the cake and mishti.
Looks amazing. Thank you so much.
Are most of your neighbours from Italy or from Bangladesh?
Both Italian and Bengali.
What's it like to live together in the same building?
They are quite friendly. We get along.
So what do you study?
Arts and design. The ancient arts. My favorite city is Firenze, so...
Florence?
Florence, yes.
So Michelangelo, yeah. Leonardo da Vinci. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course you study art. What do you think about this town, Monfalcone?
I think people are too judgmental here. The other day, I was walking home, minding my own business, and an old man passed by me and he was like, these f***ing Bengalis. And I was like, I didn't do anything to you, so you shouldn't be doing anything to me.
How did that make you feel?
I was a bit angry, but I didn't answer because I know that if I said something, the majority were going to take his part because he's Italian.
Does this happen a lot to you?
Yes. It happens here, but in the towns nearby, it doesn't happen that much. So they are more open-minded.
I guess you could say that this town changed so quickly. So many people from Bangladesh came rapidly, and so some people might feel they don't recognize the place they live in. So could you see their point of view?
Yes, I can quite understand that. But I think that you can not like a person or a group of people, but it doesn't mean that you have to attack them or insult them in a personal way.
Do you think in the future in Monfalcone there is a possibility that people will live together in harmony?
I think if the mayor that we have now stays, then no, there won't be a possibility of living in harmony. Rather, there will be more and more problems. She is set with the mindset that Bengalis are trying to Islamify Italy. And I think they are just minding their own business, I think. Majority of the Monfalconese people, they are on her side, the Italian ones, I'm saying.
Why do you think they're on her side?
I can see that they don't want us here.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, there are some people who are not quite civilized here.
But as Meheli mentioned earlier, there are Italians in Monfalcone who have welcomed them. Sitting down to eat with us is Liliana, Meheli's neighbour, who's in her 80s.
You've lived here a long time. You've seen your town change in the last few years. How do you feel about it?
For me, it's a pleasure to meet new people with different customs, ways of doing things. I like it. Things change. It's not like the last century. Things change, and we have to change with it.
I'm keen to speak to more Italians and Bangladeshis here in Monfalcone. So I'm off to a former cafe, which has been turned into a place where Bengali men and women go to learn Italian. It's run by volunteers, like 77-year-old Arturo. He started it in 2008 to try and bring the two communities together.
I am Arturo Bertoli, and I'm living here since 50 years.
Why is it important to do this? Why is it important to teach Italian?
Because they are living in Italy. They are coming to stay, and a lot of them, more than 500 people from Bangladesh, already bought apartments, houses, in Monfalcone, and that means that they want to live here. The second generation, born in Italy, you know, they went to school in Italy, they don't have any idea to go back to Bangladesh.
Have there been any tensions here with, you know, Mayor Chisint and her rhetoric?
She built walls instead of bridges.
It's quite unique, Monfalcone. There are about 30% of people who are here. They're not Italian, yeah. Right? Do you think that's a good thing?
For me, it's a good thing, sir, because they are young, and the original people from Monfalcone, they are very old. Without them, Monfalcone should be a ghost town.
Arturo pointed out to me that the Bangladeshis are just the latest in a long line of migrants, joining people from countries like Croatia and Serbia, along with Italians from the south. The Bangladeshi women I spoke to were all very different, from their ages to how they were dressed to their experiences. We communicated using a mix of English, Italian and Bengali. Some of them spoke all three languages. While the women were doing their Italian classes, back outside the town, cricket captain Mia Bappi and his friends were trying to teach me their national game.
There's about 8 young men here from Bangladesh. They are batting, they are bowling, they are fielding. I think batting is the most fun, no?
You have to do all around that.
I've been handed a bat and I'm going to try my hand at cricket for the first time. can somebody throw the ball in an easy way? Okay, just to get me started. Okay. I hit it on my first go. That's really good, right? Yeah. Well, you went easy on me. So they caught my ball. I overall lasted about 50 seconds, but it was really fun.
Mia Bappi was lighthearted while he was playing the game he's so passionate about. But when we talked about the mayor effectively banning cricket within the town, it's clear the whole team feels a strong sense of resentment.
We're here. It's not like we cause trouble. Every month I pay the council 30 or 40 euros, and there are three or four municipal taxes. They say we pay nothing, but we are not living here for free.
If you all went back to Bangladesh tomorrow, what would happen to the shipyard?
60% of the workers are foreigners, and most of them are Bangladeshis. If we didn't work there, it would take them 5 years to build a single ship.
So they're not really welcoming you?
No.
Why? Do you think it's because it's a small town and you look different?
Forse siamo troppi qua, per quello.
Maybe because there are too many of us?
He's applied for an Italian passport and expects to get it within the next 12 months. His brother already has one.
So when you finally get your Italian passport in your hand, do you think it will change the way that you feel?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. Because my brother has an Italian passport and they still consider him a foreigner. They don't think he's an Italian. They don't say that word.
Do you think you'll stay in Monfalcone?
No.
No.
Where do you want to go?
Mia moglie vuole andare in America.
My wife wants to go to the US.
As its population declines, Italy is trying to work out how to best deal with the ethnic diversity that is a natural consequence of its dependence on foreign labour. Politicians like Mayor Anna Maria Cesint are accused of trying to turn the clock back to a monocultural past.
Do you think that the Bangladeshis have contributed anything at all to your town?
Niente, zero. Mi hai dato zero.
Nothing. Zero. They gave me zero. But not just to me. To the town. To our community. They gave zero.
But without foreigners coming in, places like Monfalcone could soon become ghost towns. In June, a regional court ruled in favour of the two Islamic centres and annulled the town council orders, banning collective prayer. But in the meantime, Anna Maria Cesint got elected as an MEP and will bring to Brussels her battle against what she calls the Islamization of Europe. With the far right making significant gains across the European Union, she may find fertile ground. Assignment was presented by me, Sofia Bettiza. The producer was Bob Howard, the editor was Penny Murphy, and the studio manager, Rod Farker.
He was known to be a killer. Even if you see him in the town, everybody will say he's the killer.
This is the story of a man who killed so many people, he lost count. But despite his shocking death toll, he only served 12 years in jail.
It's astounding that anybody could get away with it.
And the families of his victims want justice.
That justice system ultimately ignored all of those bodies and all of the families.
From the BBC World Service, World of Secrets, Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Search for World of Secrets wherever you get your BBC podcasts.